Well, good morning, church. As Mac said, there's lots of things going on at the church this time of year, but we do want to slow down to be with God and to recognize the coming of the Messiah, and also to prepare our hearts to welcome him again. I did want to mention that today, obviously I've said the first Sunday of Advent, but it's also the birthday of a very good friend here in this church, Clark Topping. It's his birthday today. You can nudge your wife for me. Not hit her too hard. You can nudge her, Clark, because she said, go ahead and say it. She gave me the authority to say that. What a great day. Hey, this evening is our first slowing down to be with God at 4 o'clock upstairs in the big adult Sunday school room. And last week, we did not do a good job of getting these out, but our church has prepared, actually some very special people have prepared in our church, these weekly guides that aid you in knowing God and developing some practices all throughout the month of December. And so if you did not get week one, this is just a devotional aid that you can read each day. We do have week one available. But after church, at the door, Nicole Unser will be standing at those doors with week two. And this is just simply a devotional guide for you to go through, read some scripture, help you to pray, and really focus on the Messiah this time of year. I've found it helpful in my walk with the Lord this last week, so I hope that you'll find that helpful as well. But tonight at 4 o'clock upstairs, we hope that you'll join us for a time of prayer and communion, and probably, 45 minutes to an hour. I think it's good to pause in this, what could be a very busy season. So during Advent, I want to just take a break from going through Nehemiah and just kind of focus on some of the things like hope and joy and peace that we tend to celebrate this time of year. But to do that, I want to look at Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And kind of the big idea behind of what I want us to kind of here this morning is that we cannot hold on to sin and hope and Jesus at the same time. Because we will most likely gravitate towards sin and let go of the hope of Jesus. And so Paul asked this question this morning here in these verses, Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14, and it's the title of my message, What Time Is It? What time is it? Anybody ever ask that? A child ever ask you that? Hey, what time is it? Time for you to get a watch, right? Paul asked this question here, what time is it? As I said, this is the first Sunday of Advent. That word Advent means the arrival of someone or something. Usually it's referred to as a person like a dignitary, right? Someone who is really important. Our culture celebrates the advent of many things, many of the wrong things, actually. I think I have an image up on this screen here for you this morning. It's a long line. Do we have that picture? A long line. Yeah, you automatically know what this is. It's the Apple Store, right? We celebrate and anticipate the arrival of many things in our culture, right? Such as a new iPhone, like this picture here. Or, sometimes it's a new release of a movie. What about Frozen 2, right? My family and I went to that, and we actually had to stand in line for that. There was a lot of people who knew were anticipating this release of this movie. So I found myself in that line as well. And so we do. We anticipate, and we look forward to the arrival of new things. But for a follower of Jesus, we look forward and anticipate something totally different than our culture does. And that's Jesus. Amen? And that's Jesus stepping into our story, into our lives. That's what we celebrate that this time of Advent, Jesus coming and stepping into the nonsense of our lives. Anybody ever look at something and say, that is just nonsense? What's happening right now is just complete nonsense. I'm using that word a lot these days. And Jesus steps into our story and makes complete sense of the nonsense in our lives. And he offers hope that Al and Bobby Rise read to us about this morning. And so let's look at Romans 13, 11 through 14. I'll read it for us this morning. It says this, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Amen. Paul says here in this passage, he says, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. And he also says, there's a time frame that I want you to do this thing. To do something, and he talks about this time frame, and I think both are important to us this morning, right? He starts out by saying, do this. Well, automatically, when we read that in Scripture, well, we say, what do you want us to do? And it's difficult, because I realize this morning we're kind of like midway through here in chapter 13. We're just kind of flying in, and we haven't read chapter, 10, 11, 12, 13 all the way through. And so we really don't know what Paul is telling us to do. So let me give you the cliff notes. Chapter 12, Paul is saying, talks a lot about serving, right? Serving God, serving one another. And then he talks about, in chapter 13 about how your citizenship, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Amen? I mean, it's fine to be an American, or it's fine to be a citizen of another country, but for the follower of Jesus Christ, our hope is not in America. Amen? Amen? Our hope is in the kingdom of God, and we are citizens of that kingdom. It's a totally different kind of kingdom. And so he says, in light of that, in light of serving God, in light of serving one another, in the light of being a citizen of the kingdom of God, then I want you to do this. And what he's talked about in chapter 12 and 13, one of the things that he says, there's many things. One he says is, then don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. If you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, don't conform. You're a citizen of a totally different kingdom. He says, be renewed by the reading of God's word. In chapter 12, he also says that we should humbly serve one another. He tells us to do that, to serve one another. And then in chapter 13, he says that we should submit to our government. Did you know he actually says that? Whether you agree or disagree about things, God says we should submit to our government. He says to do that. Those are the things that he does. Now, in chapter 13, he shifts his attention here. He begins to shift his attention, and he begins to talk about the second coming of Jesus. In light of the second coming, I want you to do these things. And I think Paul speaks with some urgency here in this scripture. And so if I speak with some urgency this morning, it's because I think Paul speaks with some urgency. And he begins to talk about time. And he says, time is running out. I think we all know that we don't have an unlimited amount of time, do we? I mean, it may seem like that when you're raising a you know, a one-year-old or two-year-old, you're like, oh, when is this ever going to get out of this stage, right? Do you remember those times? But we don't have an unlimited amount of time. And in verse 11, Paul says, you need to wake up. He says to wake up. Wake up and realize the times that we're living in. You don't have an unlimited amount of time. Time is running out, Paul is saying. You know, for the first Christians in the early church, living in that time was difficult. The Romans wanted the early Christians to worship Caesar as their God, and they said, we cannot do that. There is only one Lord, one God, and Caesar is not God. And so because they would not bow down and worship Caesar, they persecuted these Christians. And we know that they even killed these Christians. I mean, it's a really hard time. And so there was this word that early Christians would say to one another. It's this word in Aramaic that says, that is Maranatha. Everybody say Maranatha. You know some Aramaic. Maranatha, it means come, Lord Jesus. I mean, have you ever said that? Oh, Lord, come now. You really mean that sometimes when you say that? But sometimes we're in these situations, we say, come, Lord. Well, what you actually said was Maranatha. And so the early Christians, in the midst of persecution, would say to one another, they would say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And it would lift their spirits because they anticipated and they longed for this Messiah to come and deliver them from the oppressive Romans. So turn to your neighbor again and say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And Paul, are you sensing the urgency? I'm excited. And Paul is saying, hey, we need to wake up because the Lord is coming. Wake up. And he even, there's probably even a sense in Paul where Paul says, wake up and grow up. He might say to these Christians. So how do we wake up and grow up? Well, we know the Holy Spirit, when you accept the Lord as your Savior over your life, the Holy Spirit comes and He lives within you and He wants to develop within you some things such as love, joy, peace, all those things, right? But there's some things that help us wake up and grow up. One of these things is this, is a devotional like this or something like this that help us to develop some practices of confession. I know we don't like that word confession, but you know that's good for the soul, right? The book of James says, confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. Right? And so there's some spiritual practices that help us wake up and grow up. There's confession. There's the reading of God's word. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be renewed in our minds. Right? We do that through the reading of God's word. What about some practices of even loving our neighbor? These are all ways in which the Holy Spirit develops in us and grows us. There's the daily reading of God's word and worship. So Paul says, what time is it? It's time to wake up and it's time to grow up through the Holy Spirit. So what does Paul want us to do? Well, he told us in 12 and 13. And he told us here in verse 11, time to wake up. But he also tells us to know something or understand something. In my NIV, I think it says, know the present time. Or in another translation, it says, understand the present time that you're living in. That word know in Scripture, in a lot of places in Scripture that Paul uses, is this to know God, like intimately. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying to know the present time, to be sure that you understand the present time that you're living in. He means don't overlook this time. So friends, during the Advent season, do not overlook Jesus and why he came. Do not overlook it. He says, know, be sure of the present time or understand the present time that you're living in. If you have a flight that's leaving out of Spokane are living out of Seattle, do you just wait? Do you just kind of just take your time in getting there? And, well, I don't really know what time it leaves. No, you're sure of the time, aren't you? If they told you to get there 2 hours before, then you prepare and you take into account of going through security and taking off your shoes and your belt and your shirt and your hat, everything. Right? The airport is the only place where you can get undressed and it's okay. And so you prepare for that. You must know when the plane is leaving. You must understand the time. You must be certain of it. You must not be uncertain of it. You must know. And so Paul says, be sure of the time. You know, words are so important in Scripture. This word time is used in a couple different ways. There's this word chronology. It's where we get this word chronos, where we get the word chronology from. Chronology means, you know, it means the order of events, right? That's not the kind of time that Paul is using here. He's using this word in the original language, and it's the word kairos. Can you say kairos? It means, what it actually means here is a limited amount of time. A limited amount of time. And so Paul says, you got to wake up. You have to know because you have this, you don't have an unlimited amount of time. You have a limited amount of time. It's a critical time that we're living in. I love the Living Bible in this same scripture. It says this, another reason for right living is this. You know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of the Lord is nearer now than when we first believe. Paul is saying, wake up. Understand the time, this critical time that we're living in. Jesus died. Jesus was born. He died and he rose again. And now we're living with anticipation. And in this time, this amazing time of grace, We're living in this amazing time of forgiveness. We're living in this amazing time of reconciliation. We're living in this amazing time of redemption. Time is running out. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, wow, I've never experienced these kinds of things, this redemption, forgiveness, and reconciliation, now is the time, amen? Now is the time to respond to that because we're living in this time. It's a critical, limited amount of time. And so Paul says, wake up. I remember growing up, and I must have been somewhere in probably in high school. Yeah, probably high school age. And I had this cassette alarm clock in my room, and the alarm would go off because it would be time for school. You remember those days. It was time for school, and I wouldn't even push the snooze. I would just turn it off. And my mom, it never failed, every morning, she would come in, and she'd say, Ryan, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And I said, Mom, I am praying. It's time for me to pray. Don't interrupt a man while he's praying. And I confess to you that I was lying every day of my high school years. And I confess that to God already. And to my mom over Thanksgiving. So Paul says it's time to wake up from your sleep. I think in some translations it says time to wake up from your slumber. The word here, I found this word, it was like a word study week for me. I found this word really interesting that he uses here for sleep. It's the Greek word hypnos. It's where we get the word hypnotic, you know, to be hypnotized. And, you know, to be in this like dream-like state. And Paul's saying it's time to wake up from this dream-like state. Just don't walk around living in this time defeated, powerless lives. We're living in a time of grace and redemption and forgiveness and the truth. Don't just walk through life tired and exhausted and depleted. Because we're living in this time where the Messiah was born. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. Don't miss this time. And so really this morning I want us to see these words of Paul here, this passage of Scripture, as an invitation to live in great hope, to respond to his redemption, to anticipate his return, and to long for that. Because time is running out. Time is running out to love our neighbor. Time is running out to preach the gospel. Sure, I talked to my kids last night as I was putting them to bed and praying with them, and I was talking to them, practicing my sermon on them. And my little boy, Chisomo, said, "We don't know when Jesus is coming back." And I said, "You're right. But the Bible also says, the words of Paul, that your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed." Time is running out, friends. There's this urgency. And Paul says, wake up. Wake up. The second thing this morning here in verse 12, Paul, I think, talks to this idea of the importance of throwing away your old clothes. Not your physical clothes, of course. Some of us can do that. But verse 12, it says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Paul is using a lot of metaphors. He likes doing that in his writings. What is he talking about when he uses the word night? He's talking about it's time to stop walking in darkness. You used to do that before coming to know Christ. He says it's time to start walking towards the light. And so he invites us to do that, to put aside our old deeds. He says, don't participate in some of these things you used to participate in. Don't participate in another translation says, wild parties or drunkenness or jealousy even. Don't participate in those things. Throw them away with the help of God's Spirit. Throw them away. Throw them away. And rather Paul says, put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. You know, how do we do that? A couple of weeks ago in one of my sermons, I mentioned to watch and pray. That's a good way of putting on the armor of light. Be alert as a guard during the night. Watch and pray. Good way to put on the armor of light so that we don't fall into temptation. John chapter 3, verse 19, it says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Jesus is really saying here, friends, you cannot hold on to sin and the hope of the light of Christ at the same time, because most definitely we're bent towards sin. We'd rather grab a hold of sin than the hope of Jesus Christ. And so he says, you got to put off that old self. You got to throw away those old clothes and pick up the armor of light, the hope of Jesus. Amen? You know, some of you in this room were in the military. Some of you in this room probably played on a sports team, or you have a uniform that you put on when you go to work. And you know as well as I do that when you put on that uniform, your whole mission changes, doesn't it? Your whole mission, what you think and what you believe in, is all about the mission. And Paul says, put on this armor of light. And when we put on the armor of light, we know we have got to know and understand that we have supernatural resources from the light of the world who's able to conquer sin and darkness when you put on the light of Jesus. Amen? So Paul says it's time to throw away these old clothes. In verse 14, he says, then put on Jesus. Throw away the old and put on Jesus. Verse 14, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This last week, I saw this image on Facebook or somewhere. It was an advertisement for a dry cleaners. And it said, if your clothes are unbecoming of you, then you should bring yourself to us or something. You should be bringing yourself to us, right? And I thought of that in these words of Paul. If you're unbecoming, if sin is making you unbecoming to Jesus, you should be coming to Jesus. You should be coming to Jesus. You know, as I begin to read these words, and even as I speak right now, I don't want us to get the sense from Scripture here that following Jesus is a list of do's and don'ts, like these rules that we have to follow. I mean, there is some sense that Paul says, put this off and put this on, right? But that's all for God's glory, and that we might grow in Him. That's why he says, clothe yourselves and put on Jesus. And in other words, in another translation, he says, fully immerse yourself into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thoughts on your former identity to awaken selfish desires. So that's what Paul is talking about here, putting on Jesus. Fully immerse yourself in Him. Fully immerse yourself in Him. Maybe another way to think about putting your clothing yourself with Jesus or putting on Jesus is thinking about clothes. What do clothes do? You know, they keep us warm, especially this time of year. They protect us. There might be several answers that you might have to that. But Paul is saying here is that Christ is our armor. He's our armor. His armor is love. His armor is protection. His armor is peace. His armor is forgiveness. His armor is redemption. His armor, just someone shouted out, what is his armor? Only two pieces of armor. His armor is joy, his strength, redemption, forgiveness. That's his armor. His armor takes care of us. In his armor, there is a future and a hope. There's a hope now. His armor is what I want everyone to see. Amen? That's what Paul might mean by putting on Jesus. And Paul then says in that passage, and don't think about your former identity and gratifying or taking part in sinful desires, trying to gratify the flesh. It says, in some translation, it says, make no provisions for it. I like that word, provisions. I mean, think about, we just went to the coast to visit my sister for Thanksgiving, and we made some provisions for our travel along the way, or my wife did, made some provisions. Tell the truth and shame the devil, right? And so we made some provisions, she made some provisions. And think about that. Before you go on any trip, before you go anywhere, you plan ahead, don't you? and you think about what to bring, what to pack. If you're hunting, if you're fishing, you make some provisions for yourself. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't make provisions for yourself. Don't think about how to gratify yourself. Have a plan before you go into a situation. Clothe yourself. Put Jesus on. Put on his armor. Travel with Jesus. Take Jesus with you. Take him where he would be comfortable going. One man by the name of Ray Steadman says it like this. He says, when I get up in the morning, I put on my clothes, intending them to be a part of me all day long. To where I go, to do what I do, they cover me. They make me presentable to others. That's the purpose of clothes. In the same way, the Apostle Paul is saying, put on Jesus when you get up in the morning. Make him a part of your day, every day. Intend that he go with you everywhere you go, and that he act through you in everything you do. So what time is it? It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to put on Jesus. We don't have an unlimited amount of time, friends. Let me close with this. Henry Nouwen said this. He says, I've often thought life is like a day. It goes by so fast. If I'm so careless with my days, how can I be careful with my life? I know that somehow I have not come to fully believe that the urgent things can wait while I attend to what is truly important. It finally boils down to a deep and strong conviction. Once I am truly convinced that preparing the heart is more important than preparing the Christmas tree, I'll be a lot less frustrated at the end of the day. As the worship team comes forward, I just want to leave you with a question. During this month of what can be very busy for families, the question I want to leave you with is, what are you preparing for? What are you preparing your heart for? And if Paul were standing here with us, he would tell us, friends, it's time to wake up. It's time for us to wake up. Know the time we're living in and respond to his grace. If Paul were standing with us, he would say, you can't hold on to sin and hope in Jesus at the same time. It's time to put on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, I pray as we focus in this month of immersing ourselves in you, Lord, I pray that we would decide to with the help of your Holy Spirit, not walk around kind of in a dreamlike state, overwhelmed by the nonsense of the world. But we would fully immerse ourselves in you. We would put you on and put off our former identity. Lord, speak to each person here this morning. God, let them know, speak to them, let them know the things that they just need to throw away. Help them to put it off and to put you on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.